Hello and welcome to We the People. Can freedom in the domain of social media, in the online world, be absolute? This is now a raging debate across India after there was enormous outpouring of public anger when two young girls in Maharashtra were arrested. What was their crime? Well, one of them argued on Facebook that the bandh that had taken place in Mumbai in the wake of Bal Thackeray's death was perhaps a disproportionate response, in her opinion, born at least partially out of fear. The other girl, her friend, simply clicked like on this comment. What followed, believe it or not, were the arrests of these two young women, citing a section of the information technology law that is deeply contentious. Raising the wider debate on the program today is this question. Is the technology law anti-freedom? Does it interfere with our right to freedom of speech and expression? Is it possible or even desirable to regulate the social media space? Let me start here. We have with us Mr. Satyanarayan, and he's, of course, been quite brave, I think, in taking the questions of what I imagine would be quite an angry audience, the secretary in the Department of Information Technology. Mr. Satyanarayan, you're speaking on behalf of the ministry at a time when there's a huge public debate over one aspect of the law. And the biggest criticism, sir, is that it is so vague in the way that it is worded that it leaves it open to gross misuse, as we saw with what happened in Maharashtra. So is there a serious concern now within the ministry that this law needs to either go or be amended?
Yeah. Let me first of all reiterate what the Union Minister, Mr. Kapil Sibal, said. He condemned the recent incident, and also in the same breath he reiterated the government's and the country's commitment to freedom of speech and expression. So now, coming to the Section 66A, yes. This has genesis in sometime in 1997 when the amendments were being contemplated and designed, and it took almost more than 10 years till it became law. That is in 2009.
That's the background. But now, in the light of how we've seen it being used,
now whether it is the Section 66A or some other sections like 69, it's a kind of a balance that is required between freedom of expression and aspects like national security, public order, also the dignity and reputation of individuals. That was the intention behind. I'm not saying that
what has happened or the way it's been used has fulfilled that intention.
Yes. And of course, in the implementation, in a country of 1.2 billion, the way it is understood and interpreted and implemented, there could be problems which need to be also recognized, and we perhaps need to enhance the awareness on this subject also. The government is open to suggestions for improvement in this space.
Okay.
And we definitely, in fact, there is also an institutional mechanism for that. That is the Cyber Regulations Advisory Committee. Now it has been revived, and we have the meeting on the 29th of this month.
It's good to hear that the government is open to changes, that there was an intention perhaps on the ground. That's not how it has unfolded. One of the proposals has been that no less than an inspector general rank should have to clear if any arrests have to be made. But Kiran Karnik, as somebody who's a very eminent voice, been the president of NASSCOM, part of the expert committee, as the secretary said, the larger question will not be resolved. Is an arrest a proportionate response to something that is offensive, that is menacing in character, that causes annoyance? I'm quoting actually verbatim from this Section 66A. And why should the current laws of the land, why should the penal code, why should the defamation laws, for example, why should those not be sufficient?
You know, when this law was first drafted, it was far more benign. Mm. And the somewhat sad thing to me is that it was a parliamentary committee which made the law far tighter in its over-enthusiasm to sort of make all protection. And I do want to say that undoubtedly this was under some degree of pressure from security agencies.
And you're saying that when you as the member of the expert committee suggested changes, you did not want it to be such a harsh law as it is today.
If you look at the 2006 formulation before it went to the parliament, it was far more benign. It was not ideal, let me stress, but it was far more benign.
Okay.
And then things were added in the pretext, I would use that word advisedly, of, you know, taking care of spam, of defamation, and that gave huge powers to the security mechanism. Mm. Now, in our country, to the broader issue that you raised, we know that laws tend to get misused,
yeah.
not just by the police, but the police under pressure from various political parties,
yeah.
governments of all kinds of hues across the country have misused these laws. And given this, I think to say that it is enough to inform the police, to educate them, is not adequate at all. We need to make sure that the law can't be misused, and the only way it can't be misused is if we take off draconian provisions that exist today, make it clearly defined, take off all these general things like, you know,
offense and annoyance.
If you're upset with me
yeah.
and I react by sending you a mail which causes you annoyance, you can go to the police station and file an FIR against me. That's what that law says. And I would appeal, and I'm very happy with the minister's statement, also the statement by the Minister of State, that they're willing to look at this and amend it if necessary. I think we just need to take these off in the present context.
So awareness isn't enough. You've got to have a very specific law. The specifications have to make it difficult for any policeman to walk in and arrest somebody and handcuff them for something that causes mere annoyance. Kiran Bedi, can I get you in? And I ask you to speak today in three capacities, actually. Police officer, somebody who's active on Twitter, now also part of, you know, the Anna Hazare movement and party. Three different hats you're wearing here. You know, metaphorically, all of us on Twitter, ma'am, are aware of the fact that things are said and written that actually do cause deep offense. They're questions of integrity. They're often questions of abuse. You've faced it. I've faced it. Almost everybody here has faced it. That's where we enter tricky terrain. Will it be enough to make the law extremely specific? Or do we have to sit back and say technology's outpaced us? This is a space we actually can't control.
I think we need to bring a sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
We need to strike a balance. I think we need to somehow define what is grossly offensive and what is menacing character. I think that's another definition. Some definitions said go back to the IPC, but there are many other words which have been used in the law which we don't find a definition, which means we will go back to the dictionary definition, which means so much of litigation. I personally think that's one area which we need to circumscribe. But I know the kind of offensive Twitters we get.
Yeah.
They're very abusive. But we don't have the time to take the matter to court. And it's very, very humiliating sometimes. We need to find a balance, which is not in this. It's just one-sided. This is exactly what happened in 498A. 498, if you remember, immediately when a complaint made by a woman and a policeman was scared, ki abhi arrest karo, kyunki wo kahenge ek shikayat. But there, somehow over the years, through court judgments, through police interventions, through policy and training, a balance has been struck and rules got evolved and a senior investigation came in and a balance has been struck somewhere.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of balance is yet to come. It's evolving. This is happening with New York police.
Yeah.
This has happened with London riots, Occupy streets. Even there it's evolving.
So
it's
nascent sort of social media here, we're still finding our way through it as to how to respond to a society, how to establish a code. Now, before we hear from the story of one of the young girls who got arrested, I just want to take this to Rahul Narvekar, who's the spokesperson of the Shiv Sena. And Rahul, this is the first time that, in a sense, the girl who got arrested and the Shiv Sena is face-to-face on the same platform. And I hope you'll start by assuring them that they are safe here to speak their mind.
Well, absolutely.
Well, I won't let anything happen on my show, I can tell you that.
Although it's the responsibility of the government to assure safety of every citizen,
yes.
But I can definitely do that and vouch for that on behalf of my party.
Okay, so let me then ask you. Are you apologetic about what happened? There is a very distinct impression that in the aftermath of Bal Thackeray's death, it was not possible for anyone in Maharashtra to express an alternative opinion to the eulogies that were pouring in. And if they did, then they were punished, and this was the message that was sent to them. And that is completely undemocratic.
Well, Barkha, before I start, let me clarify something. I'm not, number one, I'm not here to defend any individual. I'm here to put across the views of my party.
Okay.
After the demise of our departed leader, though our executive president, Shri Uddhavji Thackeray, was in extreme personal grief, he did come out before the media and the people at large and appeal to everyone and the party cadre that there should be absolute maintenance of law and order. And no one should, the best way of paying homage to our departed leader would be to maintain law and order. Insofar as the complaint is concerned, this was filed by an individual. What followed after that was the action of the police and the judiciary. So I don't think the action of the police or the action of the judiciary can be defended by an individual or a party.
What coming about the vandalism and the atmosphere of fear?
Coming to the violence and the so-called vandalism.
Why so-called? There was a clinic that was vandalized.
The party has already made its stand clear. We have not promoted or incited any kind of
violence. So do you regret the vandalism?
The individuals who committed,
they're members of your party, they're workers of your
have,
party,
who have alleged to have committed this violence, probably have done this out of, you know, that in India we've seen and sudden and outrage, a sudden provocation and
so they weren't expression when of they attacked the clinic.
Emotions, and therefore this would be difficult for anyone to explain. Like I've said it earlier,
which
and
they,
any person who has a stake in democracy will not resort to any kind of violence.
Nilajana Roy,
from what I understand from this, at the time at which the clinic was attacked, those gentlemen were not Shiv Sainiks.
They had
temporarily revoked the party
FIR
does not take
it,
any responsibility
the
for it, the violence caused.
The FIR, if I have understood it correctly and if I have read it correctly, it's registered against unknown people.
The police in Maharashtra say that these 10 gentlemen are workers of the Shiv Sena.
I am
the
sorry.
The police say that.
The investigation is under process.
Sir, the police say that.
Can you please show me the FIR corrected copy where
so
they say
not Shiv Sena.
Let me frame. Okay, Rahul, let's not shout. If it is proved in the course of investigation that these 10 men, vandals, who did this to the uncle of one of the girls, were workers of your party, will the party take action against them? Will the Shiv Sena distance themselves from these workers?
The party stand is absolutely clear. We have condemned every kind of violence. If these people are guilty and if they have committed a crime, the law enforcing agencies will deal with it,
okay.
And they are the appropriate people to deal with it.
Okay, so I do want to hear from the young girl, but Kiran Karnik, your initial impressions, and this is where, for me, the online debate actually gets very linked to politics. Even the online world is a deeply polarized political space, in fact, much more so than mainstream media. Is what has happened in Maharashtra about the technology law? Is it about politics? Is it about both?
Well, I think it's about politics primarily, Barkha, because, you know, we've seen this happening not just in this case,
yeah,
but all kinds of other laws that people are just arrested and our judiciary, with due respect to them and hopefully not subjecting myself to contempt of court, seems to revel in just putting people in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, bail is given way, way later. First you put them. So, but in this specific case on technology, I do think that we are yet evolving in technology, as Mr. Satyanarayan said, and therefore the law needs to be far more flexible and err on the side of freedom rather than on the side of being misused, when we know that every political party here, whether in power or not, as we just saw, yeah, in Maharashtra, is able to have its way.
Okay. Now, before I take this back to the panel, one's heart has to go out to a young woman who clicked like on Facebook and found herself arrested. And I've got Renu and her brother sitting next to me, and we gave Renu the option of whether she wanted to disclose her face or not. She opted not to, for understandable reasons. And I want to start, Renu, by asking you, both you and your friend later, you apologized, and a lot of people thought that apology was under pressure, that apology was under fear, that, you know, because you were traumatized by what had happened. Now the charges against you are going to be dropped. Do you feel safer? Do you feel freer to speak your mind?
Well, right now, I feel safe now, because I'm getting a lot of support from you guys. So I feel that I'm safe now, because 2 days before I was frightened, traumatized, and I was sitting alone,
yeah,
and just recalling what all had happened to me.
And you spoke about how you'll really worry about what you write online next. Is that still the case?
Yes.
Because you know that it could actually land you in jail.
Seriously.
Do you worry about going back home where you live? You've seen vandalism there. Do you worry about that?
Yes, I do.
Why did both of you decide to apologize for something that your friend believed and you liked?
Because the mob outside, the police were really, you know, they were very violent. So we thought of apologizing.
So you were scared?
Yeah, we were.
Perfectly understandable. There's absolutely no judgment in for the choices that you chose to make. Now, Rahul, you're Renu's brother, yeah, and you also work in the online world. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I'm an editor for an online technology magazine called OnlyGizmos.com.
What do you make of the current debate around this technology law and what happened to your sister?
As far as my sister is concerned, it was a very unfortunate incident. It could have been solved right there itself, and it went viral and it went national. If some people had taken the initiative, it could have been solved at the police station or maybe the next day itself. No, but I don't know what happened. I wasn't at the place actually, so I came to know about it very, very late.
Renu, do you worry about this law and the sweeping powers that it gives?
See, I don't know anything about the law.
Have you ever faced abuse online? Have you ever had people say rude things to you? Maybe since this incident happened, did your Facebook page remain active?
I activated it yesterday.
But you deleted it in the middle?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we're getting a glimpse into the levels of fear. Just like the secretary to come in briefly at this point. So this is an example, and I think that's what we are hearing, where the law actually facilitates the power of the mob. And that's what's so frightening about this law.
Let me say that it is a question of the balance not being maintained. And I think and the government also has reiterated several times, and we feel so, that the internet should be a place where the mind is without fear. But how to create that kind of a scenario?
Like Kiran Karnik says, err on the side of freedom,
yes.
Not caution.
So we need to identify. We need to identify the loopholes, and then improve. As I think it is very much important to also realize that it is evolutionary in nature. Just as internet is evolving, technology is evolving. When
the
this
law
was framed, let me tell you that when this law was concept, probably the social media concept itself was not there.
All right, Nilanjana, let's focus on the law, because I think we all agree, and I think Kiran Karnik makes that point, that irrespective of which political party is in power, and we have seen this law being applied in West Bengal against a cartoonist, we have seen the contentious arrest of somebody who made allegations of corruption against Karthi Chidambaram. So this is not party specific. Kiran raises the genuine point about what do you do
online.
About the actual threats online, the actual abuse online? And there was the example of Chinmay, who actually said that she and her mother were stalked online, and they felt they had to take police action against this under this very law.
Here's where I would draw a distinction between what governments do and what the internet does. Over the last 4 years, for example, there are three separate bodies that involve Facebook, Twitter, Google, and other organizations like that that are working on the problem of cyber hate, and that are trying to come up with solutions that make a certain amount of sense. In the early days of the internet, when we had communities, the best ones were always moderated. This is not necessarily an anti-censorship statement, but censorship, you know, free speech comes with a certain degree of responsibility, and the expectation from the early user groups was that all users would adhere to the rules of that specific group in terms of civility.
Yeah.
That hasn't entirely gone out of the window. What's happened is that your numbers have jumped to the point where it's impossible to police. 900 million users on Facebook, 500 million on Twitter. The problem is that when governments get involved, their tendency is to do something that is overprotective, not just the IT Act. The IT Act is actually the most draconian of them in the way that it's formulated, because it's so general. It's created a situation where I'm more free to say what I think inside this TV studio than I would be online.
But let me just argue that by reverse, because in this TV studio, what is broadcast on this show, I will be legally liable for it. If anybody wants to sue,
you're drawing a distinction between the media and
yes.
between the amplification that happens
yes.
when ordinary people
okay.
get online. Yes.
Okay.
And one of the ways in good information, for example, tends to chase out bad information over a period of time. But I'm not going to deny that abuse is a major problem for women, for minority groups. I'm seeing a lot of instances of abuse directed against Dalits, for example, in the Hindi-speaking internet, which is becoming a major problem. And there the solutions seem to be unexpected. You know, the law doesn't seem to be half as effective as community problems or as dealing with violence, for example, as a viral outbreak.
Am I understanding from you, therefore, that you think that the solution does not lie within the law?
I don't think that governments have been very effective with this. The classic example, for example, is China. From 2008 onwards, China started cracking down on the internet, but it hasn't actually
been
effective.
I will look a little later at examples in, not China, but in the free world, as it were, in the rest of the world, where there are actually now pretty well-evolved laws where something that is written on Twitter can actually be brought, taken to court under defamation, and cases have been won on those grounds. I'll just come back to you. Just want to get Prashanto in now. You've made the argument that there has to be some mechanism for regulating online content. It's the wording of the law that's the problem.
I think there are only two sane sides of the coin, and that coin is a debate against 66A, that either 66A should drastically change or it should go.
Yeah.
In the case that we've been discussing so far, it wasn't really a 66A issue. In fact, there is a contrary view, which I partly subscribe to, that the police may have done a good thing going ahead with this and arresting them. Because the Shiv Sena has in other cases said that, okay, either the police takes care of it or we know how to take care of it. Okay, now 66A wasn't the biggest offense slapped on them. It was IPC 295, which was non-bailable, because of which, you know, they were in lockup and so on. So there is definitely that atmosphere there which says that if I don't like what you say, forget the law. If the law takes care of you, fine. Otherwise, I can beat the stuffing out of you.
We will get Rahul to come in there at some point. But let's come back to the online debate. What we're looking at is, what if somebody believes that integrity has been questioned on flimsy grounds? Now, that is the argument that Karthi Chidambaram, for example, made when somebody accused him of amassing wealth. And he said, this is defamatory to me. And he embraced legal recourse. Now, in the online world, this was seen as resentful and the act was declared draconian. Why?
As far as the law is concerned and 66A is concerned, the fact is that even without 66A, there is recourse to a whole lot of other laws and sections.
Defamation.
Defamation is one. Now, of course, 66A is the easiest to use. And that's why it's become a weapon, which is, but the fact is that, you know, the people who speak in favor of completely abrogating or dismissing 66A essentially say that everything that you want to try and tackle under 66A, you can tackle under various sections of the IPC. But 66A just makes it very easy. 66A is so loosely worded that it can be significantly misused.
So you're but saying clearly, change the wording, you don't necessarily think that it needs to go completely.
I think in the process, and as far as due process is concerned, it will probably need to go completely and be redrafted as a section. But even without it, there is enough protection which is there.
Nitin, there are interesting examples. You know, there's China on the one end of the spectrum. But there is a Lalit Modi who had to pay £90,000 for alleging match fixing against Chris Keynes. And Chris Keynes took him to court and won his case. Then there is the very fascinating recent example where a false report on the BBC accusing a Tory politician of being involved in a paedophilia case, it turned out to be an incorrect report. But the gentleman in question has actually threatened legal action against all those who retweeted the BBC report, saying that, no, you have propagated this slander against me by retweeting this, so I'm taking you all to court. Now, in India, there's an assumption that all this only happens in India. It's not true.
We have laws in the IPC which take care of all these problems. And there is a lot of jurisprudence on how you treat defamation, how you treat outraging the modesty of women, hurting communal sentiments and everything. So the Section 66A of the IT Act was totally unnecessary. Absolutely unnecessary, because today we are in a situation where you can go out in the street corner and say something and you get away with it, but say that online and you go into prison for 3 years. So the motivations of why articles Section 66A was put in seem entirely dubious and ulterior to me. It is entirely unnecessary. And that's not the worst thing. Do you all know that since 2011, we are living in a country where blasphemy is a crime?
How?
The intermediary rules made under the IT Act actually make blasphemy a crime. And the parliament and the government allowed this to function.
It's so you're saying there are sufficient laws already to take care of all the genuine concerns and we didn't need this at all?
And what it's doing is, because we've gone on an entirely wrong track and assaulting basic freedoms of free speech, it makes it all that more difficult for us to move towards a regime where we can have industry self-regulation or move towards social norms where people know how to behave. Because these are norms of behavior, of decency in society.
But there is also something about venom, and that's where I might disagree a little bit with Nilanjana, that over the long run, I think good information chases the bad out. But in the short run, you'll always find that venom travels faster because it's often mobilized.
Twitter and Facebook have been using algorithms that try to work with this and try to find a workaround without abridging people's free speech. There are some things, some people get shut down very fast on Twitter. If you have, the larger your follower count, the more likely you are to be exposed to abuse, or as in Meena's case, you stand up and say something and you find that you've been attacked viciously by trolls.
Yeah.
This is an old internet problem. Trolling has been one of the scourges of the community in the same way that street violence is in the offline world.
In street violence, admittedly, it's not easy to go to the police, but the laws are quite clear. Here, the violence and the abuse you face online, that's where we're trying to establish, do you need a separate law? Are the current laws enough? Kiran?
Look at the difference between what I put on a Twitter and what if I take a complaint to a police station under IPC or under Section even 66A. If I just take a written complaint to the police station, it's only between one and one. The duty officer knows it and I know it. But if I put the same matter on my Twitter or on my Facebook, I can reach a million people straight away.
Yeah.
If it is good, I'm very happy with it. Yeah. I can, as an individual, be very happy.
Yeah.
But if it's bad, I want to eat them up all. I want to eat them up all because I've been defamed by a million people.
Yeah.
I think it's only when the shoe pinches. I think only the wearer knows it. I think we all need to come to terms with what is social networking, how responsible we need to be.
But let me complete. Yeah.
I think it's finally going to be application of law. What you're looking for is a mature police, neutral police, and a well-informed police.
I think all those are sort of things that we all agree with. I just want to get Meena Kandasamy here. Meena Kandasamy, as a writer, you spoke about attending a beef-eating festival, and you were barraged, mm-hmm. not just with abuse by people who ideologically disagreed with you, but you were called a terrorist. You were called a whore.
Yeah.
That's, by the way, what always happens to women. And you were even threatened with rape.
Gang rape telecast live to people. Yeah.
Gang rape telecast live. That was what the tweet said.
And they also said we should all be butchered, you know, minorities and Dalits and I took all these complaints to the police, the Chennai police commissioner.
You did go to the police?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think personally I gave the complaint. I actually gave all the screenshots and I got no response. He promised me that he will take action. Whereas I think, and this is where I actually have problems with Chinmay's case, because in Chinmay's case, the problem started with, you know, her debating reservation, her debating the Sri Lankan issue, and then it turned into abuse. And here the police were quick to act to those who, you know, insulted her. But while I was, you know, actually threatened rape, they said they would, you know, have acid attacks wherever I go. They said they will file cases under, you know, 295, 504, everything to push me into prison. And I took it to the police and there was no action in my case. The only action I actually got from the police was the police in the US. Because there was a professor in US called Dr. Ajoy Chatterjee. He said, people, please keep carbolic acid concentrate ready to throw on these women. And then I actually approached the police. So they said, if you come over here and you can give a case, this would attract a felony charge and he can be put in jail. I said, well, I can't do that, but I at least want you to talk to him. And he said, yes, I think, you know, people should talk to him and tell
him. Where does your case stand right now? And do you worry about what you tweet now? Do you watch what you tweet now?
No, I don't think I worry at all about what I tweet, because I think I'm empowered in a way in which I think Renu or her friend are not empowered, because I mean, if something, you know, this kind of talk, if what happens to me, it reaches people. So in many ways, I think it's an issue of politics, and I deal with it very politically. This abuse is not because they hate just me, but what I say, and I'm very happy that, you know, this kind of controversy actually takes it to more
people. Some of these stories are really horrifying. We have to take a break, and I know Rahul, you wanted to speak. We'll come to you right after that. Also after the break, an Air India employee who says that he basically spent 12 days in jail. He believes that it was completely disproportionate. His passports were impounded. And a last question. Anonymity on the internet. So many people attack online without disclosing who they are. Why is that? We're coming back with your questions as well after the break.
This complaint was practically 1 year old. In the 1 year, the police did not call us for any investigation, but landed up at our place at 1:30 in the night on a Friday, arrested us, and now said I have insulted the national flag.
On We the People, what sort of technology law should a free society, should a democratic country have to regulate what goes on in the social media space? Is regulation even possible? Is it desirable? That's the question on the program today. Before we return to our panel, let's take some questions from the audience. Yes.
There should also be a background to who the complaint is being made against. Here's a girl. She could be anybody's sister. Could she ever do any harm to anyone? It is because of the politicization of the issue that it has become an unfortunate case for her. And I'm scared. Everybody else, I guess, I post on Facebook quite a lot. And I think everybody here can feel the pain of that girl.
I think you make an important point because Kiran was making that it's in the end, the police has to be able to sift through the kind of complaints that they receive. Your question, sir.
You said that the law is in the nascent stage and you had a tendency to sort of get away with it. And if 10 years brought out, if I can say, a shoddy work, what can we expect in the future when you say that it's being worked out?
And can I just add one line to that, sir? And that question is simply, I think, what Nitin raised, that do we need a separate law to monitor that space?
Let me address the second question first.
Yeah.
I think the feeling is that, yes, it is. Because I think Kiran Bedi also mentioned an immediate reach that this medium has.
Yeah.
It is borderless allegations and all kinds of defamatory statements can be made in anonymity. Just as it is, you know, highly powerful medium to do a lot of positive things. 0.001%.
So you do believe a separate
can overweigh whatever positive.
Okay.
And create a kind of a environment where, you know, the entire internet, the philosophy of internet is destroyed.
Can I just get Mr. Kiran Karni to add to that? Do we need a separate law for the internet space?
You know, I'm very hesitant to say we need a separate law. I mean, look at television. It's the best example. On television, most of us, I think practically all of us, have fought any content laws. We have said, look, there are broader laws which can be applicable to television.
But we did have to come up, the industry had to come up with a self-regulating code.
Didn't have to come up, but it chose to come up with self-regulation, and that's worked.
When I say have to, I mean in response, it's a self-correcting mechanism. So there were mistakes made along the way, and this was the solution that we found.
I think that's what we should try first before we jump into the government getting into laws.
Just to add one more point.
You would prefer the government not getting into this space?
Absolutely. I don't think we need a nanny government to tell us at every moment what we're doing.
Okay, one sentence, sir, that I've got to take a question here, Rahul.
There's also one quick point that it is borderless, and then the accountability of the person becomes very, very
okay, we'll explore that. The issue of borderless, the issue of anonymity, we will explore.
Cybercrime, yes.
Okay, we'll explore that. I'll take that to you, Nilanjana. Let me just take a question here. Yeah.
Not very long ago, we did see a very disturbing incident where we had several Northeasterners in many states in India feel like their safety was threatened. And those messages were spread through communications devices. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that became a social media-based terrorist incident. So how can we, as a society, responsibly look at free speech and public safety? Where does that line lie, and can it be created legally or not?
So you're saying the power of rumor can be extremely insidious online?
Absolutely. We've seen it be dangerous.
Both ways. May I?
Quickly, because I've got to take this to Rahul. Okay. Yeah. I'll come back to you, Nilanjana. Prashanto and then Rahul. Yeah.
In every one of these cases where 66A has been used, the tweet or comment that was attempted to be suppressed has been amplified a millionfold. So this is a fairly silly thing to do.
So it's self-defeating. Rahul.
I think when we criticize any legislation, we need to understand the background in which this legislation was made, enacted. Now, this particular act was made pursuant to a resolution passed by the General Assembly of the United Nations with regards to making model laws with regards to use of commercial electronic media, which was made applicable by various countries. So therefore, these provisions are also prevalent in laws around the world of different countries.
Well, but on the other hand, the United States First Amendment values freedom of speech above many other guarantees of freedoms. But I do take your point, and that is the hub of the debate, that where do you find the balance?
A law becomes counterproductive or becomes redundant, when it's wrongly applied, or two, when with passage of time, you don't change it, you don't amend it.
Okay,
and therefore,
you're all speaking together. Nitin, quickly.
If the price of obeying what the United Nations says is that girl sitting there with a mask on her face in the Republic of India, then I think the United Nations should be chucked into the dustbin.
That's exactly what I said. The problem is not with the law. The problem is with the implementation of the law.
I don't think we can
answer. So Rahul, you did. Your party did not have a problem with that Facebook post.
The party had no role to play with that. That was an action by an individual. Police is investigating that, and they will deal with that. The problem lies, and not just this law, with all the other laws, which even the IPC for that matter, gives the right to police to arrest after an FIR.
Okay, let me get Kiran in. Now, you made your point. Let me get Kiran.
Two things. Yeah. Many countries overseas are doing non-arrest resolution. This could have become a non-arrest resolution.
Absolutely.
Secondly, it's any one of us have a right to make a complaint to the police saying, I'm annoyed by this. Again, Barkha, the application of law.
But ma'am, there's a point here that if the law is so overarching in its language that the police can use that overarching language to do just about anything, then even the application will not solve.
Barkha, there are many overarching laws. I've implemented them. Finally, it becomes a onus of responsibility is on the applicator.
Just one second. We've got KV Rao who's joining us from Mumbai. Mr. Rao has been an employee of Air India and found himself a few months ago spending 12 days in jail for various jokes, as I've understood it, that was circulated in a closed email group. Mr. Rao, correct me if I get the chronology of this wrong.
The forum was a closed forum only available to the crew. Another thing was, this post is practically 2 years old. It did not create any disharmony. And second thing is, it was not created by us. It was created by somebody and just shared by us in the forum.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Rao, I'm just going to interrupt you. Yeah. I'm just going to interrupt you because I want to just give the background a little bit about what's the controversy about. There were different charges that were leveled against you. One was the arrest under this section 66A, but there was also defamation, also outraging the modesty of a woman, and also insulting the tricolour. And at the heart of the debate was one that the Congress flag was actually distorted to show a middle finger in the hand. And then there were a number of very sexually explicit innuendo jokes.
If you look at the FIR,
yeah,
there are totally three blogs that have been put by me.
Yeah.
One is a political joke.
Yeah.
One is a comment. Mine is a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
To a colleague of mine who wanted to do something wrong, and I have told him you can't do it. And third is an exclamation about certain things that another colleague wanted or exclaimed to be doing.
Hmm.
The flag in question was posted by my colleague. It was shared by from somebody else.
Yeah.
But this complaint was practically 1 year old. In the 1 year, the police did not call us for any investigation, but landed up at our place at 1:30 in the night on a Friday, arrested us, and now said I have insulted the national flag. If you look at the picture, it's nowhere a national flag.
It's the Congress Party flag,
yes,
and not
exactly.
The national flag.
But
yeah.
Exactly, but the charge put against us is to showing disrespect to the national honor, and which is the flag.
Yeah. From what I understand, the complainant who complained against you, and this was some sort of obviously cabin crew politics playing out here because he's also part of this mailing group. So without getting into all of that, said that some of the language that you used was abusive. A lot of us may abuse when we think nobody's watching. So did you think that nobody is watching because there was abuse in the posts, right?
Ma'am, not only me, if you look at all the posts, this was a normal banter going amongst the group.
Yeah.
Because the rules to enter the group are very clear that no offense should be taken about anything.
Yeah.
So we were very liberal with what we were saying, and I agree the man had a grievance. He should have just kind of given it to the moderator, it would have been deleted.
Nitin Paina, what does the law do with this?
Here's the thing, Section 66A is... is agnostic to this. You could be sending an email to your wife and your wife could go out and complain to the police and you're in jail for 3 years. that's as I'm not kidding. This is what the letter of the law is.
Yeah.
But what he brings out is a more serious problem which I think we should be concerned with. Is this an assault on freedom of speech in the information age?
Okay, because I'm just being corrected on one point of fact, okay, Mr. K.V. Rao, that it was not an email list but a Facebook closed group. Correct, sir?
Yes.
A closed
Facebook.
It doesn't matter. The chilling effect is real. So I think what we have to do is to work towards a set of rules, norms, where a policeman can't come outside your door at 1:30 a.m. and put you in prison.
Suppose in this closed Facebook group there was abusive language used. Is it up to the group to moderate itself?
I don't know why Mr. Rao is being so defensive about there was nothing wrong. In fact, if it's a closed group and there were all sorts of wrong things spoken about it in confidence among people, it should be legitimate. We are a free country. Unless there is actual evidence of wrongdoing,
maybe
planning
it,
a terrorist attack or a crime.
K.V. Rao, I'll allow you a quick comment there, then I've got to go on to the audience. Yeah.
Ma'am, but that gives the right to the inspector to forge our remand note.
Yeah.
And just kind of come and knock me up and say, if you don't come to the police station, I'll handcuff you and throw you in a lockup.
Yeah, and in this case, their passports were impounded, but the case did go to court. They spent 12 days in jail.
For 6 months, we were asking the police, kindly return our passport.
Yeah.
And they say, you go to court and get it.
Kiran Karnik, you know, even those of us who don't, who are uncomfortable with abuse, etc., this is a very complicated thing because it's a closed group. Nitin says, even if there are a few dirty jokes, I mean, who hasn't exchanged a few dirty jokes at some point? We SMS each other dirty jokes, and
Barka,
I mean, are we going to be arrested for
it? You fly all over the
watch
world.
Out.
You mean
and
you
I'm jail, here I come, but yeah, go ahead.
You know, if you look at Section 66A, subsection C, it even, as Nitin just pointed out, it leads to one-to-one emails. It can be objectionable, you can be put in jail.
Yeah.
So I think it is draconian, without a doubt, we should use that word. And now whether you take the rest of the IT Act or no is different. But this one just needs to be dropped.
has to go.
All right.
We'll take that back to the secretary. But Meena,
a very brief point.
Yes.
Brief point is that free speech is not just free speech in a country. Sometimes free speech is, you know, social revolution, social change, and, you know, rationalism.
Yeah.
So what has actually happened to a couple of friends of mine who are journalists in Kerala is, you know, there's a temple in Kerala that sells cloth saying it's the menstrual cloth of the goddess. And they were criticizing this because they were thinking it's a superstitious practice. Mm. Now, all these people, because they were criticizing Parvati Amma, you know, the goddess in Chengannur, they were, and anybody who actually posted that on Facebook and the persons who shared this on Facebook, all of them have cases.
Yeah.
They had to go and, you know, go underground, they had to abscond, they had to face the due process of law. And this happens to people who are actually daily journalists. So you're basically, you know, not only quelling individual opinion, but also social reform. Because
okay, let's just try and take a few questions. Hina Bakshi to my left. Now, this is an interesting reversal of, usually people complain about having been at the receiving end of abuse. Now, Hina Bakshi from Chandigarh, a recipient of a Bravery Award growing up, daughter of an army officer, all of that, ran into a problem when your car was stolen from a friend's house. Now, she got frustrated, like a lot of us do, with the non-response of the police, and you went and posted something on the Chandigarh Traffic Police's Facebook page. Now, they say that you abused them, and they warned you, and it's okay, you can say that you abused them. I mean, I love how we're all acting as saints and like we've never used a cuss word in our lives, no, but go ahead.
I did use cuss words, but it was not towards somebody.
Yeah.
It was in sentences. I used the F word once in that entire post.
But on their page.
Yes.
Not on your page, but on their page, right?
But what led to this entire episode was that first my car gets stolen. Second, no response. Third, they are not ready to listen to me. And fourth, when I go to the police station, they are accusing me that, okay, the car, first of all, is not stolen only. You are lying. There are no tire marks. Tum wahan pe the bhi ke nahi. And the way they spoke to me was just derogatory. It's just any self-respecting human being would find it strange.
They warned you saying, ma'am, you're being abusive. You are liable to be arrested.
No, criminal proceeding will be started against you or something. We'll start criminal proceeding.
And then you abuse some more.
No. I did. The context of my post, what I wanted to say, the gravity of what I wanted to say was completely ignored.
Yeah.
It's been 105 days. Even today, nobody has spoken about my car. And how I find out that they've filed an FIR against me is through a newspaper.
And did they arrest you?
They didn't arrest me. But to subdue us, you know, just to hide their own incompetency, they're trying to subdue me and pressurize me.
Kiran, there's a cop, what would you have done, by the way? Sorry, before I take that to Nilanjana.
What happened in her case, a car got stolen and they didn't register the FIR.
So
that's what brought the
argument. Thoda gali nagaya, wo to person to person bhi nikal sakte.
I think there were two wrongs. Huh. One wrong by the police, another wrong by her.
Case
you see, the baat aapne,
I'm calling
aapko wrong lage na lage, kisi ko wrong lagega, kisi ko nahi.
I'm calling up the officials and they're telling me, look, Sunday is the only day we get. We play golf today. Don't bother us. And I'm begging them. I'm calling them every day. That please file my FIR.
Here's the point. It goes back to your point about do you need moderation or not?
Look at the enemies of the state that we pulled out, you know, in the course of this evening. We have an Air India pilot who's exchanged a few off-color jokes.
Yeah.
We have a young girl who complained that the police weren't taking action against her car. And we have two people who disagreed with the funeral of a man whose policies are extremely controversial. The message that's being sent out is very clear. You know, if you have any more reason to doubt that the IT Act is being not just misused, but that its provisions in themselves are unsound, you only have to look at these people.
Let me take this to the secretary. Here's the point. These are not enemies of the state. Do these people need to be in jail? It sounds bizarre, sir. I mean, there's an element of surrealness to it. It's Orwellian.
The postings that have a bearing on the aspects like, you know, cyber terrorism, national security, public order, they stand on a different footing and need to be clearly segregated versus a set of comments and information that has potential, you know, for personal damage and, you know, personal
and defamation laws would not defamation. Cover the latter, sir. That's the question.
Yeah, absolutely. That is, there can be different points of view on that.
Yeah.
But historically, I mean, this act has been passed. Considering that it's a totally different medium compared to the typical media.
But hearing these examples, sir, do you concede what Kiran Karnik is saying? That this law is not working for the purpose it was meant?
No, we have also seen cases where possibly an extensive damage to the public order was saved by some of these provisions in the recent past.
What you can do with 66A is
divide
certain matters under cognizable offence. where arrest could be made, and another's non-cognizable offense, which was before the amendment took place.
We're still talking about policing people's private conversations.
Even anonymity. Do you have a take on anonymity?
Most people anonymous online in India are trolls.
Okay, quick class thought on where you think the law should go.
Out of the window.
Prashanto.
Yes, I'm kind of inclined towards scrapping 66A.
Totally?
Completely. There's enough draconian stuff in the IPC to deal with stuff you want to do.
Okay,
with.
You're saying the current laws are enough. I'm going to take a few more audience questions and we'll take final comments. Yeah.
I think India has basically forgotten to laugh it up. It's like becoming so intolerant, especially like I think political parties and other organizations which are in the national forum, they should be open to criticism. Because they are already in the public forum, and if you're not open to criticism, then it's really sad and it's the death of democracy.
So get a thicker skin. I mean, I think that should be the 101 of anyone who's online.
We need not, you know, make more and more laws and complicate the situation.
Rahul.
Laws are enacted by the parliament in their wisdom.
So you support this law?
I think they're implemented.
There was no due deliberation.
Yes.
There was no due deliberation. 15 laws or something were passed in about 8 minutes.
And it wasn't discussed.
I think it's an implementation that needs to be regulated.
There was no wisdom, there was no deliberation.
Do you believe the law was misused in Maharashtra?
I think the implementation of the law has to be regulated, whether it's Maharashtra, Kerala, Chennai or any other place.
Nilanjana?
I just said, let's arrest a few politicians under 66A and see whether the opinion changes.
Yeah. Law is uniform for everyone in this country.
In fact, it's not in its application. Because if Renu there, sir, had been a politician, she would not have been arrested.
Exactly. Yeah,
and that's the truth. Yeah. But a question here. Yeah.
66A was made for me. It was made for every girl sitting here. It is for those lewd comments passed. Because all of us are Renus over here. But the precedent which has been said is really wrong.
Nitin, what about women? There is intense misogyny, there is intense casteism, there is intense religious bigotry. Our problem is that we do not embarrass as a society people who talk like that.
Are we a society which is polite? Are we a society which is polite on the roads? Are we a society polite to women on the streets? Are we a society which is polite to strangers? We are not. Look at the United States, for example. It pains me to say this, compare us with countries which are better, but they are, to strangers, despite the horror stories of racism and everything that we hear, an average bloke on the road is friendly to you. We are not like that. So why should our online environment be any different?
But isn't our online environment even more an exaggerated version or an intense version of that?
It's the same beast, but in a probably in a much more in a serious avatar. It's the same beast. So I think until we are able to solve the fundamental problem with our society, which in terms of compassion and friendliness and decorum with each other, we are not going to solve this social media problem.
Whatever I could infer from this debate was that our country is only run by the whims and fancies of the executives.
Okay, but the point is it really that dire, Kiran Karnik? Because we are here and we are saying this and the secretary is listening to us and we're all lambasting the government. No, so we are still a free country.
I think thanks to the media that bring out these issues and this poor young woman would have a terrible time if it weren't for the media. But two quick things. One is, I think we need to amend the Defamation Act to make it far more stringent. Second, we need to drop the 66A, certainly, and many other sections in the IT Act. And third, I think the job of the government should be recognized as protecting individual freedom and not, we become all porcupines. Every group here, you touch them and they bristle with saying, this anti that, yeah. Books get banned, movies get banned. Free speech gets banned. The government should protect those, not be against them.
Okay, I'm going to just, because this whole debate began with Renu, I'm going to end it with her. You've heard a lot of opinions from all sides. Are you going to be an active Facebooker again?
Yes.
You feel more confident of that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I have a last question to Rahul, sir. Has he ever read what we actually wrote?
Yes, I have, and I won't wish to repeat it here. But I think looking at the sentiments that were there in the city that very day, it could have been avoided or it could have been
Why?
In a more rational manner.
Why?
Oh,
it's her view.
She's free to
she
her view. I've given you my view and my opinion.
No, so you can say you disagree. You can say you disagree with the view. You can't say should have avoided posting it.
When I say that, I'm not justifying the action of the police or what happened after that. I'm just telling you what could have been avoided.
Even your case all this
you're saying that it was
okay, we seem to have turned full circle, sadly, on this. We've come back.
Balka, they should have had a tick mark saying dislike.
Yeah. Well, then that's probably. I think that's the most democratic way to end. You dislike. Don't like something, click the dislike.
And you could have disliked.
Okay, once again, Renu.
And don't arrest us.
Absolutely. I think a big round of applause for what these girls have been through. Freedom of speech is sacred. It's the nerve center of our democracy. But I think we also all agree that freedom goes only so far as you don't demean somebody else's freedom. And this is certainly a law that, as Kiran Karnik said, needs a relook, if not scrapping. We leave it there. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.